honey. Oh, the pomegranates and the grapes and the fruit. It's beautiful. We couldn't hardly carry it back. It was such tremendous land. But we looked like grasshoppers among those giants and those walled cities. And boy, Caleb and Joshua were men of faith. They were not mumblers and grumblers and complainers. They didn't hear bad messages or hear sour notes. They were not discouraged. And they said, look, fellas, we're more than able. Yes, there's giants in the land. Yes, there's some walled cities, but oh, says they'll just be bread for us. You see what? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Huh? So don't take discouragement lightly. Okay? Now here's the antidote for discouragement. You get snake bit, you need to go somewhere and get the antidote. Is that the right? Am I saying that right? Not dope, dote. The cure. Let me just get down like we say in East Texas. This is the cure. What is the cure for discouragement? Prayer. You know what? I didn't send Mama to Kenneth Hagin's school on faith. All I did was challenge her, and she went back to her Bible and got on her knees and got to pray and reading the Word. And God gave her a word from the Scriptures, and her faith arose, and she came to me with a word of faith from the Bible that came through prayer. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, now they're just not any sense in y'all running around here discouraged. They're just not any excuse for y'all running around here faint-hearted. There's just not any excuse for y'all to be running around here doubters. Bible didn't say God's given to every man a measure of doubt. But it did say God's given to every man a measure of faith. You hear what I'm saying? It didn't. So if God didn't give you doubt, well then, if He gave you faith, exercise what God gives you. That don't mean you don't have some minus to deal with or some negative to deal with, but try to exercise the peace and the faith that God has given you. See? And Jesus said, men ought always pray and not faint. And that word faint means to lose heart, to disbelieve, to doubt, and to become discouraged. So I got the cure tonight. I'm not just here with a problem. I got the cure. Having trouble with doubt? Pray about it. Pray about it. Read your Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Men ought always to pray. And this is what I want to challenge the church with tonight. Let's be a praying church. And if you see something in me you don't like, pray for me. If it takes me too long to get my point over, pray for me that God will give me a better vocabulary and make me more brief. I'll praise God with you. See, and I'm going to do the same with you because sometimes I have to tolerate something too. Oh, I hope this is not taped too much. So discouragement will literally make you a spiritual paralytic. You can't function. You can't enjoy life and service to God. I see some folks sometimes in Sunday morning services, and I tell you kind of how you can kind of spot them. They usually don't come for Sunday school, and they usually miss part of the song service. Sometimes these kind of read the evangel instead of sing. And when the altar call is given, you don't ever see them working in the altars, and they always have somewhere to go. See, I've hung around this pond 20-something years. I can spot them. What was I talking about? Lord stole my thought. Oh, paralytic. They don't enjoy service. I've seen them the glory of fall, man. Jesus can speak, and they don't know where it thundered or lightning struck or what happened. You understand what I'm talking about? just spiritually insensitive, just discouraged. Oh, how's it doing? I don't know how it's going to do. I'll tell you, I don't believe it's going to ever rain again. I told somebody the other day, I put out $3,000 worth of fertilizer and got 39 bales of hay. You put that to your pencil and let me sell you some hay. I'd just like to get my money back. And had enough nerve or stupidity, one, to call the man this week and tell him to fertilize it again. But I don't have enough faith to even call to see if it's rained. I don't even call because it don't ever rain. But I'm going to make it. And I told Brother Lindy that, I'm going to make it. God will provide. I may have to teach cows how to eat wood or eat baling wire. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I'm going to make it. God's going to provide. David said, I've been young. I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. It'll rain again. It'll rain again. Now, some folks may have to start looking up. Some of those folks that run eight-row tractors 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, may start parking them on Sunday and going to church. You know, God may have to get some folks' attention, but it's going to rain again. See, I have confidence in God that He's going to supply our needs. You know how that comes from? It comes through prayer and relationship with God. You get to know God who He is. And He is faithful. He's a covenant-keeping God. And when you start having trouble with discouragement, I challenge you to find you a place of prayer and pray till it rains in your life. I know what discouragement is. I've been so discouraged and down and out till I couldn't hardly pray for the sick. Couldn't hardly function. You hear what I'm saying? But I'll tell you what, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of sick and tired, I can tell you the way out of it. And you have a little talk with Jesus, you get in your prayer closet and God will put wind in your sails. He'll put faith in your spirit. He'll put strength in your life. He'll put courage in your life. And you'll rise above those things and you'll soar over the storm that could have destroyed your life if you pray. Men ought always to pray. There's no excuse for prayerlessness. Well, prayer is the cure. Amen. Well, I preached long enough. That. Praise the Lord. Prayer sometimes changes things. Sometimes prayer changes us. Sometimes God's not trying to work on things. He's trying to work on you. He's wanting to work, do a work in your life. He's wanting to bring the reflection of His image and the graces and the fruit of the Spirit out of your life. And the only way He can do it is work on you and work through you to His honor and glory. And He loved us enough in prayer. Prayer is that. Is the way that husbandman works in the vineyard. Prayer is the way the gardener works in the garden. Ooh, I get to pray in the Holy Ghost. You know what prayer does for me? Prayer helps me get my priorities in the right place. I'll be needing to go 1,000 places and I'll get out and pray and I'll get up and some of those things that seem so important, you can't even hardly remember what they were. I'll be in prayer and the Lord will say, you need to call so-and-so. Always tell me to write it down. Prayer, 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 prayer. Let's read, let's close. Let's read part of James 5. I have in my notes here that prayer is the cure. I first put down for most ills. That was my notes first. Prayer is the cure for most of your ills. Prayer will cure most things. I got to look at all those notes, Brother Graham, and I scratched through most, and I put all. Prayer will kill all. Prayer will cure all your ills. Woo! I found the remedy. I found out how to keep from changing churches sometimes. You just pray through. I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about pastors. I've learned, Brother Darwin, how to stay in the choir. When I stay prayed up, that person that sings off key next to me don't bother me. You're so bad. The Sister Gates don't sing in the choir, so she's praising the Lord. How about some of us, huh? See, prayer sometimes don't change others, and prayer sometimes don't change things. Sometimes prayer just changes you. Prayer sometimes helps a pastor see value in a member. That if he wasn't a spiritual man, he would see that person as a thorn in his side. Brother Graham told us about a man he pastored. Every Sunday, he'd come up and told him if Oral Roberts did that, he'd do it better and different this way. I had a man in the first church I pastored. God helped me pass a test. That was the biggest grouch. That was the biggest grumbler. That was the biggest complainer. His breath even stopped. On the way home, I let my wife take him. That's the sweetest woman in the world right there. I don't have to tell y'all. Y'all know that. But I'd let her take him home because I didn't like to hear him complain, cry. One Sunday morning, he said, "Boy, I'll tell you, he poured it on them this morning, didn't he?" He's sitting right there on the front seat. Sister Lucille, she said, "Well, Estos, that maybe that was for you too." He's one of them shovel Christians. He just sat on the front seat. Old Brother Herb needs this, you know. He'll throw that back there. He dispersed the groceries around. Some folks up there live close by, and I said, "Brother so-and-so, do y'all mind dropping by and picking them up? We just had to drive all the way up there to get them. Folks live right there around us." He just said, "Brother Granberry, we done been all down through all. You don't understand. There won't nobody come and get him but to preach it. And that usually don't last long." Boy, he could be bad. My first Christmas message, I never will forget. I'll never forget, I preached about there was no room in the inn for Jesus. I'll never forget, I never worked so hard on a thing in my life. My first Christmas as a pastor. And I had my Christmas message all ready. And I got up on the Sunday and I announced it. I expressed appreciation to the WMs for preparing bags of goodies for babies. And it made him mad. And he got up and began to, he said, "I'd like to know when y'all hatched all this up. Y'all didn't ask me nothing about it, and y'all didn't ask Lucy." Well, he wasn't a WM. Boy, the Holy Ghost wisdom just came on me, and I asked him to sit down and be quiet. And you need to learn when you pastor, don't stir up more devil than you can cast out. And I want you to know that was a test of my faith. Oh, Lord, he got so mad. Ooh, no wonder he didn't have a stroke right there in church. So I went to him after church. I called him. I said, "Don't you come by my office, you and your wife." And I talked to him. And I don't know why I told him to sit down and be quiet. I didn't do that. It was just before I knew what I had done, I had asked him to sit down. And if he had anything to ask me or say, he could ask me after church. And we were here to worship the Lord. And that's what that man needed. That man needed somebody in love and sternness to put him in his place. Everybody else had ever done it had done it out of anger. It didn't make me mad. I'd said it before I knew I'd said it. And he sat down, and I went, and I spent a long time with him, and I prayed with him, and he told me not to ever use the pulpit again to embarrass him in front of the church. And I said, okay, I'll never do that again if you'll never get up in a service again and talk ugly, be that spirit. But if you ever do that again publicly, I'm going to set you down publicly. Well, I didn't help him any. And I don't know what happened to Sister Granberry, but I had to take him home. I took him home and I went in his house and I tried to help him and pray with him again. And he couldn't hear nothing I said. He was so mad. And had the sweetest little old wife. I went back and I got him that Sunday night. And I brought him to church. He sat there and did the same thing. I went back and we got him Wednesday night. Now, do you see why preachers quit going and get? I mean, I was the 21st pastor in that church in 17 years. And I think about 19 of them had quit going and getting me. And that was why. I went back and got him on a Wednesday night, and that was a Wednesday night before Christmas on a Friday. And that's when I preached my Christmas message. And I've been praying all week for him. I went to his home and tried to help him. And he sat over there all sold up while I preached. And he bound that service up. If you think you can't mess up a service, he bound that service. And I got through trying to preach. And I just began to weep, and I just came down. And my heart was just broken. I loved him, but I was not going to let somebody do the church anyway. But I prayed all week long, God, help him, touch him, give me wisdom, help him, help him, help him, help, help me. And I told the folks, I said, folks, I haven't been able to preach tonight. This service is so bound and tight. God's not pleased with this. We've come here to worship. I just began to weep. My heart was broken. And the same spirit that broke me broke him. And he began to weep. He got up out of his seat and he came and hugged me and asked me to forgive him. And I want to tell you something. From then on, I was his boy. He never had an earthly child, and I was his boy. And if you would have bothered me, you'd have went through him. He loved me so dearly. But prayer worked in my life. Prayer worked in his life. And God gave me wisdom. That's all I did was pray. God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. And I'm sure he and his wife prayed. Instead of me quitting going to getting a family who needed help. God worked in his heart, and he worked in my heart, and he worked in that church's heart. That old gentleman I preached his funeral, he's one of the dearest friends, Brother Astor Gibson. It's almost like preaching my daddy's funeral. One of the dearest friends I ever had on earth. See what prayer does? See, prayer can do something that nothing else can do. Prayer can heal relationships and families that nothing can ever heal. Sometimes there's things that arise through deaths and wills and things that happen that people, blood brothers and sisters, won't even speak to each other. Someone told me recently about something. Said, I hope you'll remember we're still blood. She says, you may be my sister, but you're not my friend. See how things happen? See how things can happen? But prayer can heal those things. Heal those wounds in our lives. And I want to tell you something. The easiest thing I could have done at times in life is got up and changed my place geographically. I don't know why I feel this so strong tonight in this service. But instead of doing that, I've gone and found a place of prayer. And sometimes God hadn't changed anything or nobody but me. You said, was you wrong? Well, I may have been. But there was something God was wanting to work in my heart and life. And friends, we'll never become what Jesus died on the cross to save us for and call us to be until we develop a prayer life. And a praying church is a powerful church. A praying church has power to give forth birth and has power to fight the buzzards off the sacrifice. And a praying church has love in it. A praying church is a loving church. A loving church. I'm not a fighter. I want to love you. I want to pastor you. I want to lead you in greener pastures. And I'd love for you to, when you feel discouraged, I'd love for you to see that immediately as a sign of something that needs your attention, as a high fever would in your body physically. I don't know how many people died, but there was a number of people died from those snake bites. And God never gave an alternative on those people until they came to Moses and says, "We've murmured against you, against God. And would you please pray and ask God to help us?" And Moses, being a proper pastor and an intercessor, did not hold the things they said against them. But he loved them. That's what Christ does, the tender shepherd. And that's what a true shepherd does. He loved those sheep. He went and interceded to God for people who had spoken against his leadership. And God said, "I want you to..." And here's the picture of the cross in the Old Testament. God says, "I want you to make a brazen serpent. I want you to put it up on a pole, and I want you to lift it up. And when the snakes bite them, and if they'll look for the serpent, they'll live and they'll be healed." And Jesus uses these words in John 3. "Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Talking about on the cross. "That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And when Moses prayed, God gave a remedy. And friends, I just have a conviction tonight that it doesn't matter what or how serious or critical your ills may be, but if you'll pray. James tells us, we conclude with this evening. James tells us, "Is there any afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing song. If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church." And listen. "And let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." And the prayer of faith. I want you to notice. First of all, he says, "Is there any sick among you? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing some. Is there any sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray." That's twice. "And the prayer," that's three times, "of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. If there be any sins, if they've committed sins, they should be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray." Here it is four times, one for another. "That you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That's five times. Elisha was a man subject to like passions we are, making reference to Elijah here in the Old Testament. He prayed earnestly. That's six times. The word prayed is used. "That it might not rain on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months." And he prayed again. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Seven times. Guy told me one time, he said, "You know, you Pentecostal preachers, y'all use prayer as a cop-out. If y'all really love people, you'd get involved in their life with counseling and you'd try to help them go back and find the roots of their problems. But anytime anybody comes to you, you just say, 'Let's pray about it.' And that's a cop-out," he said. "You're just not wanting to really get out and help people." Well, it shattered me. I never had nobody speak so plain, so bold, and seemingly so truthful in my life. And that's basically what I do. If you come and talk to me and don't want to pray, you've kindly wasted your time and mine too. But that's all I really know how to do. I know how to do that. And that doesn't mean that sometimes some counselor may not can help you with some training in their life, but I don't know how to do those things. And boy, I said, "God, that guy's right. That's what I do. Somebody comes to me and they talk to me and they tell me a problem. I usually take their hand right there. I took a lady's hand today in the hall of a nursing home. We just prayed right in the nursing home. I took another lady's hand, Mother Blackburn, out in the car, out in the parking lot. We prayed right there. Just pray. That's all I know how to do. But I found that works when lots of other things doesn't. And I said, God, I don't understand this. He's true. I don't want to dodge issues. I want to help people. And boy, God carried me to this fifth chapter of James. And I found in, I believe it's five verses, the word pray, prayer, prayed is used seven different times. And that's why I'm telling you prayer will cure the ills of our life. What God teaches us to do is being prayer people. Pray about it. If somebody gets sick, pray about it. If you have financial troubles, pray about it. If you have marital problems, pray about it. Just pray, pray, pray. If you have a problem with your children, pray about it. I even get in my car and I pray about it. Lord, protect me on the road. I get there, Lord, thank you for a safe trip. I pray about everything. And you know, read Philippians 4, verses, I believe it's 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, that your request be made known unto God. And the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So friends, this scripture, there may be other ways that people get to where they arrive, but a Christian should learn to pray and trust and confide in God. And I open the scriptures and I go back and close with those words. Lord, teach us to pray. We could just ever